You live in Muncie, Indiana. Yeah, I know people down there. You're about, because I live in Northwest Indiana, so you're about
Okay,
4 hours, 5 hours from me. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Jerry has a timeshare in Muncie, Indiana.
Jerry does have a timeshare in Muncie, Indiana. That's where Pawnee, the map of Pawnee, is just Muncie flipped upside down.
Really? That's awesome.
It is. Yeah, it's our where I live. It's just flipped upside down. It's awesome.
I love Indiana. Oh, it's such a beautiful place, let me tell you.
I've been rewatching Parks and Rec, and God, that show is just more amazing the second time around.
What's even more amazing, Cor, is how well that show captures the culture of the great state of Indiana.
Go for it.
I'm watching your newest animation right now, like, without sound, because I want to hear you guys, but, oh my god, in a restaurant, oh my god, it looks amazing. Yeah.
when we were at the restaurant, I had to, like, really sneakily pull out my, like, huge DSLR camera and, like, make sure that, like, nobody saw, but it was just, like, super awkward to get the footage for it.
How do you ninja snap with a giant ass DSLR camera?
I usually will say something like, "Oh, I'm doing a project for school because like I live in a college town."
That works.
And so like a lot of times they're just like, "All right, cool," but I graduated last year. But they don't know that, so don't tell them.
I mean, you can hold on to your student ID for years, and no business is going to question that.
Oh yeah, no one's gonna even. I mean, like, I look young still, so like I look like a part, you know, just wear like sweatpants and people think you're from college. It's fine.
Well, you see, I graduated from Ivy Tech Community College, and I'm going back for my bachelor's later this year, but obviously Ivy Tech only does associate's degrees. But what was funny is up to my last year, Ivy Tech's IDs literally were a piece of paper they printed with your picture and information on, and then they fucking laminated it. So it's like, wow, Photoshop, change, expiration date, print. Every year, print. So yeah, I finally...
That's hilarious.
Finally, this past year, they upgraded their system to proper plastic cards. But businesses don't know that.
Student discounts all your life. Life hacks right there. That's how you can pay back your college loans. Just keep using your card.
Student discounts.
Yes.
Just over time, you know, it'll eventually work itself out.
Sir, you're 40 and this card hasn't been updated in 30 years. Are you sure?
I still go here. Yep. I go here still.
Tending. I'm going for my doctorate.
Yes. You just round things off, you know, like get that other, you know, like another degree just to add things on, just to make myself more rounded.
Hi, my name is Dr. Core. How's it going?
Well, you got to understand that Ivy Tech offers like 500 different associate's degrees, so you can say you're on a mission to get all of them. You'll be a college student forever.
That's the most expensive Pokemon hunt in the world.
It is.
All the doctor titles. You know, you actually never get to work, but...
God damn it, another Pidgey!
I already have
one of these, no!
I'm just gonna refer to everything within the liberal arts program as Pidgeys now.
Oh geez, not another entrepreneurship associate degree. Gosh darn it. Business and marketing, gosh darn it, this is my fifth one this year.
And we've just established that we are all overachievers.
Yeah, we all get our 500 doctor titles. How many doctor titles are there anyways? I don't even know.
Name a field.
Why is this?
In all fields. Yeah, cornfield. A cornfield is good.
I could technically pursue a doctorate in paramedicine. I would be a doctor paramedic, which completely defeats the purpose entirely.
I thought para were like paranormal activities. So.
Well, I would tell you right now, Cor, if something happened to me and I needed a paramedic, I would want a doctor of paramedicine to show up. I would rather you be the most overqualified paramedic in the country than to be the guy that passed with a D-. I'm just saying.
Well.
C's get degrees. And don't remove your kidneys, though.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That would be profitable, but...
yeah, good times. So, there's questions I want to ask, but
you know, there's questions
I
want to ask too, and I was going to refrain because, but fuck it, why not? Storm, what's the matter with you?
What's the matter with me?
What's going on? What's happening? You sound...
under the weather.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
I don't know if it's just the microwave. Sorry.
The microwave has just been ticking me off.
I know. That's why I've been taking my Griffin-sized microwave and throwing it through car windshields these days. It's just pissing me off, man. My microphone, I'm currently down in Arizona, and my settings down here are slightly different.
You didn't adjust for the atmosphere or the temperature gradient.
Well, when you go from about 5 below to 80 degrees in a 4-hour flight, that does a nice shock to your system in a good way. But there
like
still is
the microwave.
But yeah, exactly. Walking outside. You walk off the plane and they're still running the air conditioning. It's like, this is January. Why is the air conditioning on? Wow. Good stuff, let me tell you.
I've had days where I walk into work and they've got the AC up on full blast, but by the time it's like my shift actually kicks in, it's frickin' freezing. Like, they'll jump from like a 60 degree day down to like 30 at night.
Yeah, that basically what you just described is what happens here. It's 80 to 85 in the day, and at night it'll drop down to 40. So if you don't get that, if you don't hit the off button fast enough, you're going to be a popsicle when you try to sleep.
That's true. All right, shall we get started?
No, we
shall not get started. I want to sit here and just have a heart-to-heart with Adler and find out the meaning of life, all things animation, and why the hell he, you know, still is in Indiana. Okay. We got to get these answers. This is important stuff.
Canceling the episode, deleting the files, websites going offline.
Amazing. I'm going to
delete Core Raven.
There you go. So Core Raven has now been replaced by Spybird, secretly working for the CIA. We all knew that was you, Core. I'm sorry. You had a bad cover.
So I changed my mind. Let's start an episode of Bird.life.
Always be beeping.
Not ended, started. Core.
Wait, I made coffee 30 minutes ago. I have to go grab it. It's probably going to be cold. Give me 1 second.
Well, see, Fleeks, I figured we'd start the episode backwards. We'd do the ending first and then work backwards to the grand intro. It would be great. Lots of fun.
Oh, so, but then we also have to talk backwards. How do you know? You know?
It sounds like you've just invented a new language.
China, offended.
I already invented new languages. There was actually a story. We were in front of a... I was in front of a hotel with a friend. Yeah? And then some other guy came and was talking to us the whole time. And it was like really annoying us. And we wanted him to go. And then we just started to invent a language. We were like talking... Some fantasy language, and pretended that we and after a while this guy just disappeared.
How passable was your language, though? For real,
it was good. It was good, and we even developed the language and invented a nation to it, and this we called the nation Kresian.
Yes. That works. Crazy.
The language fleeks that you were just blessing us by hearing with sounded like a mixture of German and birds trying to romantically court each other.
I think he's just trying to speak in tongues. Speaking of which, blessings and languages, I have a standing rule in my house and in my car that no one is allowed to speak in tongues while they are in either place. This became effective when a couple of new evangelical Christian friends of mine started having a prayer session in the back of my car. And I mean, totally justified. Like, they had their reasons, but then they just out of the blue started speaking in tongues. And it scared the hell out of me. Which is probably what the actual effect of that is. But anyways. Yeah, so I now have a standing rule. Don't speak in tongues. Not in my house. Cora, not in my car.
Well, Cora, admittedly, when they got in the backseat of that car and got a sense of all the sins that had been committed in that backseat, trust me, I think they felt it was their God-born duty
to speak in tongues. We've established I'm over 6 feet tall. I've only had sex in the back of a car once. It was the worst sex I've ever had.
Did you need a chiropractor afterwards?
God, just the angles and adjustments and like... If someone had broken out a protractor...
Ew.
It was uncomfortable. Hi, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
And thank you for learning. Thank you for joining our episode. This week we find out how a protractor can be used as a sex toy. The more you know.
You gotta get those angles right. It's all about those angles.
I just said that, yeah. Storm, get on our level.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is episode 57 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleeks.
I'm Adler the Eagle.
No.
No, I'm no. Adler the Eagle. Hey, everybody.
You've all just witnessed identity theft.
Yeah.
Call the police.
This is the sound of the police.
All right, will the real Phil Adler please speak up?
That's me.
Hi.
We're the real.
Hi.
Welcome.
The enemy, the Eminem song in my head. We're the real out of the Eagle, please stand up. Please stand up.
So, Adler, tell us about yourself a little bit. Storm alluded to the fact that you do art things. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. I'm an animator. I primarily do 2D animation. I just graduated with my degree in animation. I actually went to school for it for 4 years. So,
congratulations on the bachelor's.
Thank you.
And for actually staying the course and not dragging yourself under the table. That's another word in itself.
Yep, it was. There was a couple times I was under the table taking a nap because my renders were not going through correctly. But you know, that's how it do.
Hashtag animator problems.
Hashtag animation problems.
Yeah, you suddenly somehow plopped up on Twitter, like suddenly you were there, and birds were like, posting you in the bird communities, and hey, look at this guy. That's a bird doing videos.
Yeah, so I wasn't like part of the fandom really until I think probably about a year ago when I met my best friend and now significant other, Blazin, and he was kind of like, hey, you do animations and like you do a good job, so you should do like furry animations, everyone will love it. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And then I made a video and it like got a bunch of likes just randomly, and I like woke up, I was like, oh my gosh, I have 600 new followers, this is great. was not prepared for it at all, and it just kind of happened one day. And so then I was like, great, now I have a lot to live up to and a lot of people to make happy, I guess. So
you see, that's actually the part that no one has ever talked about, but that's how the fandom gets you. That's how that you get pulled into this. Like, you're living a perfectly ordinary, happy life, and then suddenly furry.
Yeah, and I can't leave now. Like, I'm here, and I can't leave. I'm stuck, and someone help me. No, it's been really, really fun.
First of all, congratulations. In one night, you got, 600 followers and at least 2 stalkers. I mean, that's the typical furry ratio. It's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, you somehow, you ended up with a bird. How? With a bird character.
Okay, so my original character is a dragon, but I was my college mascot, and our mascot was a bird. And I was like, I like birds. Birds are awesome. And like, I was the mascot, and our high school mascot was also a bird. And so I was like, if I'm going to make a character, it's got to be a bird. And everybody thinks that like I kind of sound like a bird and I act like a bird. And I wanted to be a dragon because dragons are cool. And then I was like, but birds, though. And then now I'm here, and I like the bird community is so much cooler than the dragon community.
You made the absolute best decision of your life in that sentence.
I know. I know. Don't tell Blazin, though. He's sitting in the other room because he wants to listen, but he's just staring at me right now, and he's very angry.
Birds, though. That's the best argument.
Birds, though. Birds are the best.
But now, Adler, I mean, that's awesome. Me. From one Adler to another, I have to ask, because I apparently have stolen your identity for this show.
Uh-huh.
When you went to university and you walked into that big, pristine campus, and they showed you the 1,000 different degree options you could pick from, how did you pick this? How did you end up on, I'm going to do this?
I was going to be a music teacher. I thought that was what I wanted to do in high school. Like, I was in band, I was a band kid, and then I watched the movie How to Train Your Dragon, and I absolutely love that movie, like, so much. And just to see, like, how they did, like, a realistic world, but then, like, animated characters, and I fell in love with that movie, and was like, I want to do this. Like, I want to tell stories, I want to be a part of that, and even if, like, I ended up just, being, like, the background animator or something, like, I wanted to be a part of, like, telling a really, really good story. And so kind of like on a whim, I like drew a bunch of pictures of my couch and then applied to art school and then got in somehow, which is amazing. I literally just drew like a bunch of pictures of my couch and was like, yeah, it's art, because this is where I do most of my like life, is sitting on this couch. And like, whoa, that's great.
Wow. Your couch has never ever felt so esteemed.
I know. And then so I got into the art school, and then I was like, I want to do animation. So I just kind of like had that like mindset of like, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to do it. It's going to be awesome. And I went all the way through 4 years, and then now I'm here.
So it's safe to say that if someone needs someone needs a couch drawn, you are the best bird in the galaxy to get that done.
Oh, yes. You need a couch drawn any kind. You need a love seat. You need a recliner. You need one of those, like, pull-out couches. Done. I'll do it for you.
Okay. But, hang on. I'm going to throw you a curveball here. Stick with me. Fleeks, hang on. Angle couch plus, wait.
Oh.
So an L couch plus an ottoman.
I think I can do it. It might take me a minute. It's not really my style, but I think I might be able to get it done.
We'll talk after the show, okay? We're going to have words. Okay. We'll exchange. Oh, yeah. Things will be exchanged. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I'm fascinated to see how you can pull off both a griffin-sized couch and a griffin-sized non-tip rocking chair, because that's my preferred seat of choice.
Ooh, I love me some rocking chairs. Let me tell you.
What about stools?
Oh no. We're getting a little far away from the couch, the thing now. Maybe if it has a cushion on it.
Yeah.
We're good.
Of course.
Okay, if it has a cushion, we're good. If it's just
for some reason.
Okay, Fleeks, I think you did kind of cross a line there, because like Adler, he's a modern artist, okay? If you're getting into stool territory, we're getting into postmodernism, and that's
Yeah.
Don't. Just have some respect, okay, man?
Yeah.
What about taking a couch and mounting and rigging up a V8 engine beneath it and just sending that thing down the expressway?
This seems like a music video. Like, I feel like I've seen that music video before. Like, it's just, you know, that couch. It's kind of like the making my way downtown, but like on a couch and forward.
Well, that's what you can do. What you do is you get this big ass couch and you have straps and you can attach it to a large griffin or in your case, a dragon. And then you get us birds. We just all strap down on this thing and we go sailing around like some kind of crazy amusement park.
Anytime we're strapping down dragons and or griffins for their own containment, I'm on board. Let's do this.
Same. Don't tell Blazin.
I mean, we should strap couches to all the dragons and griffins, in my opinion.
Okay, this conversation has just gone down a really wacky path. So when you're not drawing couches, you know, flying around under their own power, what do you do when you don't want to animate? When, you know, you want a hobby to escape your hobby? What's your other hobbies?
Oh, Lord. So I kind of have this thing where, like, I am such a workaholic. Like, I think about, like, when I have a hard time relaxing and not doing animation stuff, because then I, like, think, oh, well, someone else is animating and they're getting better than me, and, like, blah, 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 and it's like, I, like, think that in my brain constantly, and I can't hardly relax, but I really, I don't know, I like video games, I like traveling. Traveling's really fun. I like to go on, like, trips. I used to work at an amusement park. And I like go around the country and go to different amusement parks. I am a roller coaster aficionado, and but yeah, I would say like I either travel or hang out at home and just stare at the ceiling and not at my screen.
You know, I've got like several pictures of me in front of the Cannibal, which is a roller coaster here in Lagoon in Utah, and yep. I've never been on it. I just like taking pictures in front of it and going, nope.
That's on my list of rides I want to ride.
Oh, it's horrifying. The initial drop has you like dip into the track, so you're upside down in your initial drop. What the fuck?
That is not okay. I see that and I'm like, challenge accepted. Yes, and I take my glasses and I strap them down and I put my phone. I got a special roller coaster proof phone case that has a clip on the clip with another clip. Oh, so that way I can keep it on me and I'm ready.
You are talking my language. I worked as one of the like people who checked seatbelts. I did that for 5 years at Cedar Point. For so long. I don't know if anybody else knows Cedar Point, but like Storm probably knows Cedar Point, but I did that long. And, when you say, like, oh, I have a thing for my pocket. Why doesn't everybody have a thing to put their phone in? That'd be great. Then I'd have to look for it later when the ride closes. Losers. Don't lose your stuff on rides, people.
Literally, Six Flags said.
Why don't we just attach zippers to pockets?
Well, some roller coaster cars at Six Flags, particularly, have zippered pouches. You can put a phone in and zip
it. They do.
And then you can go. So that way, when you're done with the ride, you unzip it and take your phone out. No damage. Everything's great. But most amusement park companies don't think of that stuff, it would seem. But however, shifting back to you, the most interesting bird in the world, I have to ask, what are some of the crazy shit you've seen working at an amusement park? Because I've got some stories I can share.
How much time do we have? We found an entire weave once underneath the ride. Like someone thought it was a small animal at first, and then they brought it back and were like, do we put this in the lost and found? And I said, no, just throw it away. And they're like, but someone lost it. And I'm like, no, just throw it away.
No, call the ASPCA.
Yes. And
get animal control out there. They need the net.
Because Lord knows, you don't know what's living in that weave. I'm just being honest with you.
No, you have no idea. And, I mean, like, I have a bunch of stories that I want to do for Adler Animates that are, like, related to Cedar Point and my time there. But, oh, goodness, I've seen some stuff, man. There was one time we were test riding the ride. And, like, sometimes, you know, like, in the middle of the day, don't tell my boss this, but I would be like, hey, it's before my break, I want to ride the ride really quick. And it was toward the end of the day. So I get in the back, and I'm riding, and it's dark out, it's nighttime, and this is kind of when all the, like, families go home, it's, like, teenagers and stuff, and so I'm riding, and I'm just, you know, having a good time, being quiet in the back of the ride, and then I just get hit with something right on my forehead.
Oh.
And I'm like, ugh! Like, and it hurt, and it, like, made me see stars, and I can hear it clinking around, like, in the car underneath of me. And when we get back, I, like, reach down, and it was a flask! It was a flask full of alcohol!
Boo fucking yaw!
And I was like, and it had, like, a little, like, Scotman with his little kilt on it, and I was like, this is mine now. So I got off and I put it like in the booth, and then the person comes off and he goes, you wouldn't have like happened to find like maybe like a flask or something? I said, you had a flask in the park? You can't have those. I just grabbed it.
No, that should be an established rule, I think. In all fairness, if something smacks you really hard in the back of the head, you have total authority to say, it's mine now. Doesn't matter what
it is. It's mine. I'm the supervisor of this ride, and this is mine.
Okay.
If you get hit by a car, that car belongs to you now.
Yeah. My favorite park to go to is the closest park to me. It's Six Flags Great America. Okay. And they have a ride there. They have a ride there called American Eagle. So naturally, it's my favorite ride. But it's actually been my favorite ride long before I got really heavily involved into the bird community. Because it's a gigantic old 1979, early 80s style racing wooden roller coaster. So this thing is absolutely wicked. It beats the shit out of you as you go down the tracks. And occasionally they run some cars backwards just to up the ante.
Ooh.
But what makes it even more fun is it was built to 1980s standards. So the safety is not up to today's roller coasters, and there's warning signs all over this thing. And before they hit the go button, they literally all tell you, do not raise your hands out of the car. You will get hurt. There's signs on the roller coaster car saying, do not raise your hands out of the car. Grip this bar at all times for your safety. What's the first thing that happens? People raise the hands out of the car. And on the first drop, it's perfectly fine. But when it starts racing around circles and going under the wooden beams, there is a section in there where you will whack your wrist if you were above 5'5". And so this guy in front of me decides to be a drunken idiot and stick his hands up. And not only stick his hands up, kind of lift his ass out of the seat just a little bit. And next thing you know, his hand, you hear a snap because his hand whacks this beam and it snaps backwards like a twig. And all I hear the rest of the ride is, I'm going to sue Six Flags. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just dying laughing. I am just
Don't raise
dying.
Your hands.
Oh, my God. Because we pull in the station.
Simple as that.
We pull in the station, and they already had a med kit because there's cameras. And the ride operators are shaking their head and like, I guess you can't follow directions to save your life, can you?
So, I actually have a few questions to your animation stuff, Adra.
Yeah.
And the most important question I have for myself is, what programs are you using?
Okay, so I use kind of a menagerie, I guess you could say, of different programs. Everything that is animated, like Adler, for instance, is done in Toon Boom. It's a Toon Boom 10. It's Harmony, Pro Harmony, I think is what it's called. Everything is done there, so like I rig everything and draw everything inside of Toon Boom. I use Photoshop to do most of my storyboards, and I just put them into Toon Boom. And then I export out of Toon Boom with like a PNG, so like the transparent background, and then I use Premiere and After Effects to comp together the like lighting and make it look like they're sitting inside of the real space.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it all back into Premiere and export it out as like one big file. So like I kind of go back and forth. There's no like good way of doing it. It's like you literally kind of have to like take the video, put it in Toon Boom, take it out, put it back in, and like go back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
So you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
Ouchie. You mean? Okay, so you mean Adobe hasn't created some kind of half working but slightly awesome suite of programs you can just bounce between to handle it all?
After Effects is awesome. That's practically, I think, a mix of Premiere and Photoshop with the effects and layer functions and stuff. I mean, I animated a lightsaber in this one as a tutorial, and it was already amazing. I was totally a noob as a kid, but I managed. Yeah. I managed to make a broomstick a laser sword.
I feel like as far as Adobe software goes, the only ones that I have any experience that they've done right with are Photoshop and Illustrator. But like, I have tried their digital audio workstation program for obvious reasons, and I also tried their animation. I just did not feel good. It did not have like a natural flow to it.
Nope, it doesn't. It's like I don't know. Like I use Toon Boom because that's what they taught at my school, and that's what like Bob's Burgers is made in Toon Boom. And what else is made in Toon Boom? I think
I was pulling it up while you were talking about it. They have a whole list here. We have Rick and Morty, South Park, yep. Family Guy, Archer, SpongeBob, apparently.
Oh boy! I thought South Park was made in Flash for a second. That's kind of
probably back in the day, man.
But it seems like if there's even the most remote niche of a niche, Adobe's going to try to half-ass throw something at it. Hmm. So that way they can claim they have a solution. Just from my experiences.
Possibly. I have a question.
Yeah.
Adler.
yes.
Less of a question, more of an open forum thing here. Tell us about your first real animation. How did that go?
Like ever?
Yeah, well, not, yes. Yeah, like your first real one, like the first one that you would put in a portfolio, maybe.
Okay, so this is what got me. Okay, I joke about like the couch thing and like how that's like a funny, like, haha, I made a couch. But I had a music class that I was taking, and I did it all so quickly that I just sat with Flash and made a Flash animation of an alligator who like grabs a balloon and like floats away and goes on this whole adventure. And, like, now I look at it and I'm like, this is horrible. But at the time, like, I was, like, really impressed because I just taught myself everything, essentially, how to do it.
I want to see that. Can we find that on like, Newgrounds or something?
I actually have it on YouTube. I can pull it up and, I don't know how you guys, like, send things out for people, but I'll put it in the...
We'll tweet this. Like, it's going out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so this is, like, on my old channel, too, so there's some really cringy videos of me, like, as a teenager with kind of
awesome.
Long hair and highlights, too. Yes. So...
So this podcast is a reaction podcast now.
Yeah, it is.
It's worse than reaction.
We won't pull it up right now, but I'm totally going to watch this later. And yeah, we'll probably throw it out on Twitter if that's okay with you too.
It's no, that's totally fine. I'm so okay with that. And it's funny because like everything I've always done has been animals, but like for a while I was like, I'm not a furry though. I'm definitely not a furry though. It like, but then like it wasn't even till like last year. And so like my demo reel was, we got to the end of it and one of my professors comes up and goes, now that you're graduating, I have a question for you. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, are you a furry? And I'm
like, the perfect answer would have been, no, I'm a feathery. I'm in bird.
Yes, exactly.
And no, like, I'm a beaky. Get it right.
A beaky. But like, it was just funny because like he had to like pull me aside and be like, hey, are you a furry? And I was like, I don't think so. I don't know.
What?
But now I am, so yeah.
If you would have said yes, he would have given you like his, you know, secret persona and his secret FAID.
Like, hey, can you do me some free art over here? Just throw me some art over here. I mean, so,
two weeks ago, I went to an exhibit we had going on It was called Dino, like, what was it? Dino Palooza? What did I talked about it for a moment, but I don't even remember the name of it now. But me and my mate, Gina, we were wandering through and we walk up to an author's, he's authored a book and he's an illustrator as well. So we're kind of looking through his art and stuff like that. And Gina, being the bold chick that she really is, went up to him and was like, hey, so do you do like commission stuff? Just kind of like off the cuff, just not even like topical towards furry or anything, but he's like, yeah, I can do like little doodles and stuff like that, because he had a whole bunch of cute little doodles spread all across his table. So they get to talking and like she gives him her ref and he kind of looks at it and goes, huh, so you're a furry too? And she goes, yeah, you're a furry. He's like, yeah. And I would name drop this guy, but he's actually kind of a bit of an established author and and actually kind of has a bit of a private life. So I'm not going to name drop, but you end up finding furries in the weirdest places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's... And the fact is, there's a lot more of them than you realize, especially when you realize some of them keep it quiet for professional yeah. reasons, but they're very active in the community under aliases.
You certainly have a lot of secret furries in the animation studios of Pixar or whatever that is, you know, and a lot of animators. I bet, Adla, you even had other students were like you studied with were probably furries and you did not know about
it. Yes. Yeah, and like and that's kind of something I try to, because for me it's like I want to make this stuff and I want people to see it, so like I'm not going to do anything like not safe for work for Adler Animates ever probably just because I don't want that to come back later and be like Pixar is like getting ready to hire me and they go, hi, you drew a bunch of dicks, and I'm like yeah, but I'm not going to draw dicks for you unless you want me to. But like I can totally see that, but like for me I try to kind of keep all of my content like relatively like family friendly, I guess, just because I don't want it to come back and bite me in the ass of like, you know. But yeah, I don't know. That's just me.
And that's why some people, once again, they do their adult art under an alias.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, you know, since we've talked about animators and you've talked about that sort of thing, are there any animators you idol or whose styles you initially looked up to when you were, you know, getting ready to develop your own?
Whew. Okay. I would say Ollie Johnson. He's one of the Disney old men. I can't remember what exactly he did, but he was a pretty big animator of the time. Brad, this is funny, Brad Bird, who did The Incredibles, and he worked on Iron Giant. His director, and or like the way he does direction and stuff, he wants it to be done right. He has like a vision and he wants it to be that way. That's kind of how I am. Like I kind of see myself as like I'm not going to put out anything that I'm not proud of or like that I don't feel like is fully finished to my standard, so I kind of look up to him. But I would say I have like more shows that I like really liked, like Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Like I love that show and I love the style of it and I love like just the way it looks. And so if you kind of look, like you'll kind of see little things about like my animation that look like that, or like, and it, people have already noticed this, but The Amazing World of Gumball, where it's like the real on top of or the animation on top of real things. And I just love that. Like it originally stemmed from me not wanting to draw backgrounds because I just hate drawing backgrounds. So I was like, I'll just take pictures and put those will be my backgrounds. But then it kind of became my style like in college. And so I've just kind of kept going with it. So.
It becomes a little easier because all you have to do is put that picture in background, blurry it up a little bit, and then pump up the saturation about 200%.
Yes, that's exactly what I do. And then, it works because then I don't have to spend as... I can spend more time doing the actual animation, which is the part I like and the part that I want to get better at, and less of, like, now I have to draw a background for 8 hours.
Nobody wants to do that. Well, actually, no. There are some television shows that do custom background, like, animation, like, that kind of... And the level of detail that they go into is incredible.
Oh, yeah. There's, like...
I think it's more than just even animation. There's like even for general art, there are some artists that will take even, you know, a porn piece and paint this beautiful masterpiece of a background that will be right on itself.
Oh, yeah.
And then put dog people fucking in the foreground.
Like Nomax is just a name that comes to mind that truly goes above and beyond for backgrounds on pictures that other artists would just, okay, you're going to look at the penis and balls. You're looking at the penis and balls. I don't care about the background.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, and like, I wish that I was like more interested in doing backgrounds and stuff, but like, I just like, I like the like movement. I like to be able to see that get done. And I just, when I'm doing a background, I just feel like it's like, oh, I'm taking forever and it's not coming out the way I want it to. And so, but like, I really like people who are able to do the minor detail stuff. I love that. Like, come help me with my thing, because I hate minor details.
I personally love backgrounds pretty much the most, but I rarely do them in my artworks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because they are very time intense and stuff. Yep. Yeah. But I love perspective, 3 point, 1 point, every point, you know.
Nope.
That's why he said 2D animation, Fleeks.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Do you think, Adler, down the road, you may one day make the jump to 3D or no?
I have a couple plans. I want to continue to do kind of the thing where I'm putting realistic stuff on top. Or no, I'm sorry. I always say it backwards. Animation on top of realistic. But I want to do, like, I'd absolutely love to have, like, different characters be different styles of animation. So, like, Adler would always be, like, a 2D or, like, anything like that. But, like, I would absolutely love to do, like, some stop motion stuff and then lay that on top of things, too. Like, if it was for different characters and stuff. And, like, just, like, explore and use this as, like, my kind of training ground to, like, learn and explore different styles of animation. And I would absolutely love to get into 3D. I already kind of know how to do 3D. I just can't afford the 3D software that I know how to use. I could use Blender, but also, yeah, like, then I have to figure out and learn how to use Blender when I'm used to Maya. So, but yeah, I would absolutely love to
introduce
to, like,
this whole third Z dimension, and that's too much sometimes. Yeah.
I think Blender is pretty great. It is free. It gets and it has a full video editor in it. And
dude, I remember when Blender first came out. It was the most choppy, rough software ever, and now it's like an industry standard. It's amazing.
It's still very unintuitive, but
I wonder.
It's a great thing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, artists in this conversation, but when it comes to 3D, yes, building the actual character is a pain in the ass. It's time consuming. You got to get all the little details just right. But once the model is built, it's pretty, you can manipulate it very well. And it makes it down the road, once you have the storyboard of how you want to do things, easier to do than having to redraw a character for each pose, each scene, etc. Tell me.
Yeah, that's true. The thing is, for a lot of that's a bit of a different topic now, but comic artists often have, like, super complicated, like, machines or something in their comics, and what they actually did was, before they put, they don't want to redraw this complicated object all the time with, like, support lines and stuff. So they created it in Blender first, and then they just put it in their comic panels and trace it, for example. And that's something you can also use in animation. You can also use in animation, I think. But I think drawn stuff, I kind of like drawn stuff better than most of the 3D animation, because that's not always the case, but most of the times, I don't know, drawn animation has some kind of more character, and it looks more organic, if that makes sense.
It has a certain sense of charm, like with 3D, the rig, which is like what you were talking about, Storm, where, like, it's like a pre-made thing, and then they just, like, keep animating or, like, you know, moving it around. You with 2D, you can be a little more, like, squash and stretch, where you can, like, really make things, like, really animated, whereas in 3D, like, because of the way it is, if you were to try to squash and stretch as much as you do, you would get, like, tearing and stuff in the arms, and, like, it makes everything a little less animated and a little more into that, like, uncanny valley if you don't do it right.
Okay, see, as someone that doesn't animate but appreciates it, I get that. For school, the only thing we had to animate was one object, and it was supposed to be a bowling pin. That should let you know how terrible I am at drawing. So it was supposed to be something like a bowling pin just being knocked over. Okay, and I doodled this, and it took me like 40 sheets of effing paper to try and draw this to where, when you held the paper and, you know, kind of pulled it backwards real quickly, you saw a brief animation. And after that point, I gained a newfound respect for the level of patience required to make an animation. It's, and why, like, Walt Disney, for when he did movies back in the day, how they came up with all these gadgets to try to save time but still make it look very real and immersive for cartoon animation.
And it's the people who started out that created these tools that really progressed the industry. And then we have like this really cool resurgence. We can't talk about classic animation without bringing this up, I feel. Like Cuphead, like for the video game industry. Everything hand-drawn, everything hand-tooled, and like 40 frames of animation per like looping cycle. Drawing the same thing over and over again 40 times with slight variations in between. That level of dedication is insane. And, like, I don't even think Don Bluth kind of had that going for him back in his day.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, all the in-betweens and stuff. Oh, my God.
Don't even start me with in-betweens.
Yeah, I hate... I attempted doing animations a bit. Mm-hmm. But the in-betweens always... I did not know where to place them exactly. It's kind of, you really need to train in betweens. You know what, I don't have to tell you anything, but yeah. I mean, you know what I mean, but I can't explain it really.
An in between is like, you have like your key poses, so like you'll have like the most extreme of two poses, and then you have to go in and like draw all the frames in between those two poses. Mm. And that in itself is like the art, like so much of that like uses your brain. You have to like, you can't just go from like halfway, you know, you gotta kind of make it like ease in and ease out, and there's like all sorts
of smooth transitions,
you know. You don't want it to just like go boop and like get there immediately, you know. You gotta like space it out, and it takes so much practice.
This is also why, when you look at animation, it's funny when you see a cartoon or a low budget thing just truly not give a fuck, you know. And so the animation is deliberately terrible because they don't care anyways. So it's like, ooh, it makes the show more cringy. But if they're going for it comedy wise, then it's like, okay, this show is meant to be cringy and funny. So who cares? Let's roll with it.
Or the animation isn't really necessarily the point. Like, I coughed South Park there. Maybe you didn't hear. sorry. But yeah, like the point of some is to more or less make a spicy political statement, or just like a statement on, you know, the current events. So that's like where South Park kind of gets its infamy from, is they're very topical and on point. Like, oftentimes they will throw in little jokes about things that happened maybe earlier that day that they were animating. Yeah, just that quick.
But I think South Park. Oh, sorry.
If you want, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, because we were at in-betweens before. I don't think South Park, at least. I don't think South Park has in-betweens because they are like papers they lay together and then they moving it.
They kind of chop block everything.
So
it's a cut paper.
Yeah.
Style.
I think it's digital meanwhile.
Is digital now. When it first started, it was cut paper, but now it's all digital, so they just kind of put point to point and then it goes there.
There's something probably really charming about like the whole classic cut paper kind of thing too. So I have a question as well. What is your favorite, and this is for everybody, what is your favorite 2D, maybe pseudo 3D animation for you today? Like, what is the most impressive, or just what is your favorite in general?
You mean like a movie
series,
or a
cartoons, movies? Yeah. Oh. Maybe even an online thing.
I'm still love The Secret of NIMH.
Oh, yes.
The Secret of NIMH is so well animated for its time, and oh my god, it's... I was rewatching it, parts of it, a while ago, and oh my god, it's so well done, so lovely. And another thing, I think I'm looking up to is the animation of The Last Unicorn.
Mm.
That's like two good examples what I'm really like appreciate.
Holy cow! I'd actually never seen The Last Unicorn until Gene had introduced me to it.
Oh, okay.
And that was like not even a year ago.
I've still never seen it, but for me, the two animations that come to my mind, because there's a lot of good ones out there, okay, but the two that, if I had to pick, I really enjoyed are from when I was a young Grifflet growing up, and one of them is Rugrats, the other is Cat Dog.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, good old classics.
The animation wasn't the best, but the way they did it combined with the stories they told were a lot of fun to watch. It still pulled you in, and they were kind of unique in their own style, the way they drew those shows. It was unique to them, and that's what I really enjoy about it, because even today, when I look at a Rugrats episode, for example, no one else really draws like that, and it's awesome to see. So, yeah. For me.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, the whole handcrafted animation of Rugrats was amazing for its time as well.
I never liked Rugrats on the topic they had and stuff. I was as a kid, I hated it so much. But yeah, the drawing style is unique.
I didn't know they showed Rugrats in Germany, so learn something today.
Yeah, all the Nickelodeon stuff is available in Germany. Even this one series with the umbrella that was a monster or something. I don't know
Real
what
Monsters.
It was.
Oh yeah,
I think I can only remember that one guy with the eye that always plops out, and then the umbrella. That's all I can remember.
Yeah, the guy who had to hold his own eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta wonder how were they high on marijuana or were they tripping acid when they came up at the drawing boards for that show? I mean, seriously. Good Lord.
I think we don't give marijuana enough credit in the creative process. I think that actually deserves its own slot in the end credits. Creativity and inspiration by marijuana.
I have a brain fart right now.
No, okay, so are we doing like past thing, like more older things or more recent stuff?
Whatever your favorite most recent animation is, be it graphically impressive or you just really enjoy it.
I think Gravity Falls, the TV show, have any of you seen it?
Yeah. Yes, I saw it. It was awesome. Not yet.
So I think my favorite thing about it is it didn't overstay its welcome. It came in, it had its own like style. It was like hilarious for every aspect, yeah. Like for kids, for adults, for people who are into like weird mystery stuff. Like it was perfect. And then it didn't do the thing where it just kept going. Like SpongeBob right now it just keeps going and they keep doing it and it's not as good as it was. Like Gravity Falls came in, it told its story and then it left. In the same boat, Over the Garden Wall. Love.
Oh my god, yes.
Because, again, it's like, instead of it being a, like, for me, I don't like one thing, like, I like a fresh concept, and when they feel like it's done and it's over, and they've done it, they just kind of end it on a good note. That way it doesn't, like, overstay its welcome, and then it gets old, and nobody likes it, and it just kind of fades out. Like, Over the Garden Wall is 10 episodes of an animated show. It's awesome, it's a mystery, and after it's done, it's done. And there's no more.
I recommend Over the Garden Wall. The story is also awesome.
Become immortalized. I mean, if you keep going with SpongeBob, obviously you're going to, like, in SpongeBob South Park, where these series have been going on forever, obviously you're going to have a big impact. But if you want to be, like, immortalized as a series, you tell a good story, and you just leave it. You don't try to...
A lot of people are saying that Adventure Time goes for way too long now, but I think it's still cool. I still love Adventure Time, and I want to bring it on as an example to what I love. Adventure Time is really cool. The style is unique. It's kind of crazy. And, well, yeah.
If it's Fleeks, I've got to build on what you're saying here, because Adventure Time, yes, it is good in that. Maybe I'm alone here, and I will fully stick my neck out. But The Simpsons, okay? A lot of people think it's overstayed its welcome, but every once in a while, even now, they come up with a really good episode, and it's always had a cringeworthy humor to it, and I still enjoy periodically watching it. Maybe I'm weird. I still like it.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, that is so... Like, if you... For that, like, that's almost kind of like a thing where it's like, it just keeps going and like, it's still good. Like, some shows like Foster's Home, like, I love that show and I love the animation style, but like, at a certain point, like, the creators said, like, we didn't have any more ideas, and so we were just making shows because the studio wanted us to, and not because that we had like fun ideas for the characters. Like, they wanted to be done with it, and the studio kept making them do it, and they were just like, okay, so they literally made an episode about jumping the shark, which is like saying that, like, I don't, it's some sort of animation or like movie thing, but like, you've outstayed your welcome, what are you gonna do next? You gotta jump the shark. And so like, they literally were making fun of the studio because they kept making them make the show. but like, if you can keep, like, especially The Simpsons and like Family Guy and South Park, like, they use current events in their show so that they're able to keep it relevant, whereas like, you know, a show that's about like a self, like a flip phone cell phone, is going to become irrelevant in a certain amount of time, you know.
Right, or looked at as a classic.
Yes. I mean I stopped watching Simpsons because it just failed to entertain me after a while, because there was one episode, this episode where Metallica, this season where Metallica came, appeared. That was the last really good one that I loved. But
I just,
then,
I'm
then
having a flashback
somehow
to the scene with, and this is with Family Otto. Guy, but in Family Guy, that's where it, like, Gene shows up and like just his tongue rolls out and Lois is like, oh, hi, Gene. No? Nobody remembers? Okay, that's fine.
I actually, Family Guy, I'm sorry. I love the fact that Peter's last name is Griffin, and so to remind him, they literally have a Griffin fly over his house. It's great. I love it.
They had a dragon kissing scene in one episode.
Switching topic for a minute, if you guys will humor me. But the question's for Adler, okay? And Adler, what you do, you know, animating and stuff, you're an artist. And, you know, sometimes the creative juices get gummed up. So what do you do when you're accounting artist block? You know, do you go somewhere? Do you have a special place to clear your mind, to seek inspiration? Now, how do you overcome that?
I think with artist block, it's really interesting because, like, everyone has to kind of have their own different way of doing it. And for me, like, yeah. I can't, like, for a while I tried to do like working from home for an animation studio, and I couldn't because I was like constantly here and I wanted to work on Adler Animate stuff. So I actually think for me, having like that boring job, you have to go do like the part-time job or whatever, is like one of the most important things, because when I'm there at my job, I'm like, man, I really wish I could be home. I really wish I could be home and animating. Like, that for me is my sort of way to get over my artist block, because I get ideas like at work or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I'll go home and do that. But so, like, sometimes I'll take a break and I'll just again like go like out walking. Walking is weird. I like to go on walks like around and then come back, especially if I'm getting frustrated with something. But like, just getting up and moving around. But I try to keep everything.
I would like to think the coming back part is like mandatory. Otherwise, you just kind of walk and you keep going, and then nothing happens.
Yeah, that's not bad. And then Blazin has to come find me, and that's not good. And I have a tile, like one of those tiles, so he can find me if I get lost. So, but
it's like a tracker caller.
Yeah.
I myself have do the arts too, as you may know, and my personal tactics are against drawing is draw against the art block is just draw. That sounds crazy, but if I don't get anything right in a commission or something, I'm just stopping working on that for a moment. Then I open a new canvas, a blank canvas, and just draw stuff I like and do and some silly ideas. And then I'm coming back kind of refreshed. And I mean, I'm taking a break from drawing with drawing. That's kind of my thing.
It keeps the juices flowing is what it does.
Or I'm watching YouTube, other YouTubers. Not other YouTubers. Or I watch YouTubers like Drawfy or other people.
Oh, Drawfy.
I love Drawfy. I watch them drawing stuff, and then I get inspired too and do silly stuff too. You know.
Nice.
Yeah,
all right.
The
so...
act of seeing others get creative sometimes can really help you spring up your own ideas.
Yeah,
it's very true. So we are about an hour in now. Do we want to move on to the questions, or is there any more questions we have for Adler?
we can move on to the question if you ask me. But
I've got one final question from a personal standpoint, and then our viewers have, or sorry, our listeners have provided us with more than enough ammunition to make Adler run away screaming in fear.
Yay.
So, Adler, the final question I have for you is, being that you are a creative person, please describe how you dress yourself.
Like, what my creative process is in getting dressed?
Oh, yeah. What clothing do you choose to wear? The reason why I ask is most creative people I know tend to be a little eccentric. You know, they choose different color patterns, and their creativity applies to what they wear, or they wear the simplest thing money can buy because everything else gets focused on creativity. So I'm just curious.
I was going to say, most of the creative types that I know are just very happy in sweatpants and like a comfy sweater.
Yeah, yeah, that's the best thing.
That's what Fleeks wears.
I'm currently wearing pajama pants, and I have not taken them off today.
Called it.
And a white shirt. but on a normal basis, I usually wear a ball cap like Adler wears, a t-shirt and jeans. I'm a pretty simple bird. I think that for me, like, my creativity usually is put into what I make, and that is kind of my creative aspect. But, I did go through a phase for a while in high school where I thought it was cool to wear a hoodie and then put a t-shirt over the top of the hoodie. That was a thing that went on for a while. And then that had to go. That had to be done when I went to college because someone was like, "Why are you doing that?" I'm like, "Cause it's soft. My hoodie's soft." They're like, "Don't do that anymore." I'm like, "Okay."
Aww, social influence.
I
myself really love graphic t-shirts like. Stuff because you said that with the hoodie, the because of the hoodie thing, I must have really, really, really love graphic shirts and a lot of like sweaters and stuff. They don't have a good print on them and stuff.
Nope.
So I just take a long sleeve and put another shirt over it. So yep. I can wear my graphic t-shirts not only in summer but also in winter.
That's
a very good thing.
I hope that was a good answer. I'm pretty boring when it comes to if I try to stay in pajamas for as long as possible. Like sometimes I'll even like if I'm gonna go get food, I'll like contemplate like am I going to get looked at weird and do I really care?
Well, yeah, see, I always ask this question and I always ask how they came up with their name. And so I imagine, you know, that's gonna be part two and we'll probably have dinner question time. But those two things really kind of give you an insight to a person.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I guessed mentally that you were more of a simple, laid-back kind of bird, and I'm glad you were pretty much spot on.
Oh, yeah.
That was epic. That was epic.
That's actually a last question. I mean, you told me before the show, but why Adler the Adler the Eagle? Why Adler the Adler, practically?
So if for those of you who don't know, Adler is the German word for eagle. So essentially, yes, my name is Eagle the Eagle, which is hilarious.
Adler the Adler.
Hey, we have some correlation in that aspect.
Yes, huh? So, I actually, for a while, because I just got into the furry community, like, not even a year ago, and I went to a con with Blazen. And when I went, I had like a badge and I just put my normal name on it. My real person name is Foster. And like everyone was like, "Oh, Foster, what a good character name." I'm like, it's my real name. Oh, okay, cool. That's weird. I'm like, okay. So I had to come up with a name and I wanted something that kind of ended. Like when I hear people say my name, I hear the at the end, like Foster. I hear the So I was like, okay, I'd love something that sounds like my name. So I looked up like words for eagle and I was just kind of like trying to find something before we went to MFF because I was like, I gotta find something that's not my real name, and I found Adler and I was like, that's hilarious. Like, well, how funny is it that it both has the ER like I wanted and is the German word for eagle? And then kind of another fun correlation is that my family is from Germany. We're of German descent, so it was kind of like, okay, yeah, that works out. So
nice, well done.
I like it. I dig it.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, Bob Smith coming to MFF as Bob the Beaver. I mean, it works. Some people want to be really simple. And, you know, I get it, but Adler, that's a very good conversation topic.
Oh, yeah.
So, Adler, are you sitting in your seat ready to get the tough questions?
Yes, and I'm hanging on very tight.
Okay, so you already mentioned you like roller coasters. This is going to be a brain roller coaster. Buckle up.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Please get Adler. Back and shoulders against the seat back and hold on to the ride. Comes to a complete and final stop. Please couple hands, arms, and legs inside the ride at all times. Thanks, and enjoy your ride on Bird Life.
Hey, you can tell he's never done that before.
So, our first question comes from Moriar, and the question is, if My Little Pony was instead My Little Bird, what species would the main characters be?
Birds.
Birds.
Birds. Birds.
Okay. Next.
Next question.
I think Moriar was trying to go at what types of birds would the main characters be.
One with wings.
Okay, yes, I agree. The ones with wings. And they would be awesome and chirpalicious. So, next question is, what is the penalty for converting a bird into a dragon?
Oh, jeez.
Ask the boyfriend of...
You have to attend reconversion therapy with them.
It's almost as bad as the penalty for a bird becoming full of dragon.
Ooh. Yikes.
Next.
He's still sitting in the other room staring and he's laughing now. He's just laughing.
Then the next question comes from Sparhawk in Slamler. And the question is, why is Kor so much quieter than everyone else?
Yeah, he never says anything, right?
I don't know what planet y'all are living on. Maybe it's because I'm in the chat with the other two of you on a weekly basis, but Kor is just as squawky and loud as the rest of us to me.
I think he's asking more on a technical aspect where the volume is actually the issue. And the problem is that I have got a lot of background noises, so I'm constantly turning on and off my microphone just to prevent that issue from actually getting recorded as well. And sometimes I don't turn the knob up far enough to be audible, so then I have to do some post-editing creativity where I sound obfuscated.
Whereas with me, you know, I'm griffins are naturally loud and noisy creatures, so we have a griffin filter at the Bird Life Studio that takes me from 100 down to about a more reasonable 55, so I don't blast out my co-host's eardrums.
He's actually not completely wrong in that regard, and I've never told them about this, but in the post-production, I always slap a filter on, which is called a de-esser, so that, you know, our squeaky S's don't, like, burst your ears.
Oh, das ist gut.
I like S's.
And in that same vein, Storm and I are the worst offenders of the squeaky S's.
Good thing, we are not snake life.
Welcome to Nake Life, home of the nakes. We love getting naked. So, here's the next question that Adler, you should be able to feel the hot seat on.
Oh, great.
What's a good animated movie with a peacock in it?
This question comes from a peacock.
Obviously.
Oh, okay. Does the thing from Up count?
Technically, yeah, that is an animated film.
Isn't that a dodo?
It's a Kevin. It's close. I'm trying to think of any animated movie with a peacock in it.
So actually, because this question entertained me to death, and I don't know why I just latched onto it so much, I actually did kind of look into it. And first and foremost, the obvious one is, what's his name? Lord Shen from Kung Fu Panda 2.
Oh, yes. Okay, yep. You're right.
Kick-ass
right.
White peacock. Very good bad guy. Like, probably one of the best bad guys in any film I've seen to date. But I took it a step further, as is my nature sometimes, and I kept looking and I kept digging for animated like peacocks, because there isn't a whole lot. There isn't. I'm sorry. So I ended up digging all the way in, and I found a movie called Kongke Gongzhu, which is a 1982 movie from China. And I found it on YouTube. No, there was no English version, and there was no English dub version. But dedicated to the assignment, I watched it anyways, all the way through. And it was adorable.
Yes.
Since it's kind of related but not, but I don't give a don't give a quack. There is a cyber peacock in Mega Man X4. So if you it's a video game, but
video games.
But I don't know any movie with peacocks in it, so I have to improvise.
So just so everybody, just so we can kind of like, you know, reach out, and maybe some people will go watch this movie because it is really cute. Gongke Gongzhu is actually about a prince who marries the peacock princess. And then on their wedding night, an evil wizard possesses the king and makes him go to war with a neighboring nation. So the prince has to go off to war with them. While he's gone, the king, still possessed, tries to kill the princess. So in defense, she turns into a peacock and runs away. But the prince comes back from the war successfully, because he's just amazing that way, and breaks the spell on the king, and the princess is able to turn back from peacock, and they live happily ever after. No, nothing. They can't all be gems, guys.
So, what? Okay, so we have another question from Moriar, and the question is, at what threshold is the Patreon goal for Bird Life to become an animated podcast? And I'm going to throw this question to Adler, because I'm curious.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, like, hey, how much is your rate for one animated podcast per month?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Oh, holy cow. Well, let's go ahead and say that it takes me about an hour per second of animation. So if it's how long do you think the show is?
60 minutes. Let's cut the animated version down to a reasonable 3 minutes.
3 minutes. That's like 180 seconds. That's 180 hours. And usually I work for $25 an hour for the studio when I did that. So you can take that number and multiply it by 100 and it, so 25. I'd do it for a good pat on the back.
Okay, so basically, you know, it would be into the tens of thousands, but after you factor in the beak discount, we
and
get
the pat on the back.
I punched those numbers into my calculator and it started crying.
Oh. Hmm.
I gotta say, $25 a second is a nice rate.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So,
so obviously, it will become an animated podcast as soon as we are reaching a pat on the back.
Yes. There's a good pat on the back.
So
good
Patreon job, Patreon people, your assignment is, if you ever meet one of us at a convention or otherwise, pat us on the back. Maybe we'll get an animated episode.
Please. I've been subtly putting that in, like, all of my video, like, all my Twitter responses and stuff. Somebody will be like, hey, like, I love your stuff. And I'll be like, thanks. If you're at a con, give me a pat on the back. I just want somebody at a convention to come up and lightly pat me on the back.
I'll do one better. Since you're a fellow Hoosier, I will personally fly my Griffin self down to give you that pat on the back.
Please.
There is a need that is not being met here, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. So people, if you ever see Adler, give him a pat on the back.
Just a pat on the back. That's all I want. Blazing.
Yeah, don't even say hi. Don't even nuzzle. Don't even chirp. Just walk up, pat on the back.
Wink, he walked away.
Walk away. So, next question comes from a peacock, and the question is, what's the worst bird movie? I already have the answer.
We already know the answer. We've watched it.
You guys
watched 30 minutes of it and checked out.
No. That's not.
Is it pandemic?
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding. Core, yeah! You melted down. Like,
that's too easy. I really think it's Birdemic.
I felt my soul not the dying.
I mean, I had I was well entertained watching that.
Felix and I were dying. I almost fell out of my chair 3 times. I was laughing so hard.
I could barely make so it through the CinemaSins teardown of the movie. And I felt like the CinemaSins guy who was doing the teardown of the movie was dead inside the entire time he was tearing it apart.
Seeing the birds, some of them not even flying, dive bombing the guy. Oh my god, that is an animation that will live in infamy. Literally, Adler. They didn't animate the bird; they just photoshopped it in there, and it was just floating with the wings not moving. It was great.
That's amazing.
Oh, I see a question from Eclipse that fits to that. Do you care to read it, Storm?
A question from Eclipse.
Yeah, the third from below.
Third from below. On a scale of hummingbird to condor, when you see a raptorial bird in a movie, but it makes the same red-tailed hawk call that such birds make in every movie, how much do you cringe?
Pterodactyl is.
It used to, like, okay, so when I learned it about it at first, it did kind of bother me. But only because I realized they were using the exact same soundbite over and over and over again. Now, some of the more modern movies that do it, they don't use the same soundbite. They use a whole array of Red Tail Hawk soundbites.
I'm really not an expert in bird sounds, so I wouldn't even notice. But yeah, that was exactly what Core said. If they always use the same, like in Birdemic.
Like in any old classic Western you might watch.
But if we're being honest, I think Birdemic only had the budget to purchase one avian sound.
I think it was it's a royalty-free scream. That's why every movie is using it.
And that was out of their budget range.
Oh, jeez, it's so true because it's that bad. So, the fearsome and terrifying Lord Torch, who actually is about as cuddly as a giggle, asks, what cartoon do you think your Sona would have the most fun in, and why?
Which what?
What cartoon do you think your Sona would have the most fun in, and why?
I'd say Archer, but I would not fit into Archer at all.
Does anime count as
sure?
Yes.
then of course.
Oh, come on! For me,
Sour Adventure, of course.
Yes.
for me, it's stupidly easy. It would obviously be Family Guy.
Yeah, I can see it. No, yeah, you are totally flying over the house.
Yeah, you would be the griffin that appears in the typical Family Guy jokes sometimes when they make a joke like that reminds me of when I was a griffin, and then suddenly Peter Griffin isn't real griffin, it's actually you.
Exactly.
Or you know the chicken fight scenes in Family Guy? Yeah, just replace all those with Storm Griffin. Storm Griffin and Peter Griffin just pummeling the shit out of each other. For no apparent reason, for 5 whole minutes of the show.
I'm going to take a note really quick.
That is the best.
Thank you.
Fucking episode Family Guy could ever have.
I wrote it down. I think Adler would like really shred it up in rocket power. He would like have like some skates. He'd like skate around and be like.
Rocket power. Yes.
Good show.
Very good show.
It's like his whole aesthetic.
That was an amazing series, and the scene where Tito got locked in the freezer was actually really sad. Like, I was, like, about to cry as a kid. Because he just, like, looked so dejected and lost.
Well, what I also can think of what would be awesome, as a kid at least, I thought that, like, Pokemon.
Yeah.
I mean, Pokemon is an awesome universe, but even it's kind of scary in some departments, but...
But, like, I think Pokemon universe, too, like, I feel like I would be the person who's like, yay, I have the Pidgey. Like, I'm the guy who, like, is the first person you fight. And it's like, Yay, I'm so excited to... Oh, I guess I stink. I'm gonna go home and animate now.
At least it's not the Carpador trainer.
You would see me out in the forest just beating the shit out of Murkrow, just screaming, "Why can't you be better?"
Oh, gosh.
I like Murkrow. I like it.
I don't.
It's a mafiosi!
Well... Torch also asks a very good follow-up question to that, and that is, do you think hand-drawn films will ever make a return to cinema?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I hope so. There's constant resurgences with that.
I personally disagree.
I don't think so either.
I think, yes, you might get some computer-aided, hand-ish drawn films, but in terms of traditional classic, you know, almost Walt Disney grade hand-drawn films where you've got an army of animators working together to make beautiful movies. Just know, Walt Disney, for their last true honest-to-God animated film, was a movie about... I think it was the movie that had the African American princess and the frog and whatnot.
Princess and the Frog.
Right.
He was so close. He was right there.
Right. Okay. So, but anyways, they went all out for that film, and it did not make the money. And I think other studios, because of the cost involved of traditional animation, take note of that, and they would rather cost control it.
My prognosis is because vintage sells, and like in 10 years people will be, hey, let's do something new that's not new but old, and let's make a hand-drawn movie, and then all the critics will be, oh yeah, that's that, and it will make so much money.
Take a look at the critical acclaim that Cuphead has garnished in the less than 4 months that it's been out.
And I think that will be a hipster thing, practically. Like, oh, yes, throwback to old times. Yes, great. Oh, my God.
Back to, like, such a garbage movie, but it's a good reference point for this. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I love that movie.
No. The motion. No. I'm sorry, but no. It was a good attempt at resurging what, you know, Wallace and Gromit had accomplished. But it fell short so hard of that pipe dream. Sorry. I know there's a lot of people out there that just absolutely rave about Fantastic Mr. Fox. I'm not a fan. But it also sold really well in theaters for the first week. But there is definitely an appeal and definitely a charm to bringing back these old styles, and it's not gonna be a common thing. It's not gonna be like, oh well, you know, we're done with the computer animations. Let's just go back to hand drawing everything. No, it'll be one-off movies and stuff like that.
It'll be exceptional runoff.
Sorry for going full Kermit the Frog there. I don't know where that came from.
it'll be like things where like the studio's like, oh, like, people like that when we do like a hand animated film or whatever, so they'll do one, and then like it'll be 10 years until we see another one. But yeah, like, I don't think there's never going to be a point now where we're like, we're going to go all the way back to paper because just like we like paper now again, it's fine.
Unless we don't have any other option. All of the lessons that occurred in the 90s where we were not going to have computers in the future actually happen, and then we have to go back to hand drawn animations.
Oh.
Did you hear my rebuttal at all?
But you finished your sentence and stuff. I heard your sentence finishing.
No, I didn't hear a rebuttal at all.
Okay, so you didn't.
So you were recorded. That's important. And...
Okay. Okay, so you did you rebuttal to me talking about a room full of Adlers? Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, then I restarted.
Okay, well then.
Rewind.
Okay. What I said. Was that if you have, even with a room full of highly paid avian Adler professionals working on a full-length feature animated film at 25 smackaroonies per bird, it still would take a significant financial investment in years to make a film and bring it to market. And then I said...
Then used Indian Adlers instead.
Okay, and then I said it would be, you know, okay, yes, so for $1.50 per Adler per hour, but it would still not save on the time aspect.
And then I said they could also work for a pat on the back.
Somebody give this bird a goddamn pat on the back already.
You be careful. Next con you go to, Adler, you better have
just imagine.
I have signed up for the bat packing, let me tell you.
Adler, next con you go to, you better have armor on your back to take the padding you're gonna get.
I'm no imagine that Adler in the future has like its own animation studio. After the first month, the people, his workers come to him. Hey, it's payment day, and then he pets them all in the back.
Just to get in the building is a picture of Adler, and to open the door, you got to pat it on the back for the door to open.
I hope if you ever pat me on my back that you don't send me like asking me afterwards like, yeah, I pat you on the back, where's my animation, like you owe me an animation now, like what
it's the new currency of the fandom.
Yeah, I'm just gonna run away then, because I have to eat food at some point. I can't pay for food with a bat pat on the back. I just want one.
No, dude, so, it's actually really easy. You go to your grocery store, you pick up everything you need, you go up to the checkout line, and then you pat the cashier on the back and you walk out.
She's like awkwardly like, okay, that'll be $100, and you just like slowly reach up and like she's like kind of like leaning back, like, what? And you just go, boop, and then grab everything and run.
See, I would just walk up and I'd wink and casually walk out the door, because when you look this good, it's just a privilege itself.
That's not how it works for small birds like us. Excuse me.
I mean, if bitcoins work, then you can also invest in pets on the back. That's at least I understand pets on the back, like. And then I'm practically a millionaire then.
The problem is on Monday, Beepcoins will be worth 2 pats in the back. On Tuesday, they'll be worth 50,000 pats in the back. And Wednesday, if you try to use your Beepcoin, you'll end up owing 12 pats in the back. So you never know what the Beepcoin's truly worth.
Yeah.
So, final question. Are you ready, Adler?
Yes. I'm holding on.
Fleeks?
Yes.
Brace yourselves.
Yep.
If you had a gun to your head, your life was on the line, and you were told you must answer this question honestly or the computer will execute you, what is your favorite type of animation? Example, stop motion, hand-drawn, 3D, etc. This question comes from Adler the Eagle.
I wonder why. I already said, hand-drawn. Hand-drawn is my absolute favorite.
So what is Adler the Eagle's response to Adler the Eagle's question about what is your favorite? If your life was on the line, what would your favorite be?
If I answer this question, am I going to open up like a paradox and I'm going to have to like, I'm going to be like a loop of this podcast forever?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I was just making sure. I'm ready for that and I'm ready for to make that sacrifice, okay? My favorite style of animation is hand-drawn animation, but the kind that I do, which is really kind of pretentious of me, but like where there's no lines. So like I like to do it on a computer and I like to have the computer aid, but I like I wish I was better at hand drawn, like frame by frame animation.
Okay.
I wish I was better at hand drawn frame by frame animation.
For me, it's for porn. I prefer 3D.
Why?
That shouldn't surprise me. I mean, it didn't surprise me, but it was just so casually put out there. Just
for porn.
Well, somebody on this podcast has to earn our mature rating. but for regular traditional films, it's got to be classic hand drawn. I'm sorry, there's just something special about it. Now. I'm happy to be of service, Cor.
Well, at least it's clean now. Specs.
And how about you, Fleeks?
Yeah, I said already hand drawn.
Okay. Well, congratulations, Adler. You have survived our thorough beaky interrogation.
Yay!
But you haven't survived the challenge yet.
Oh no.
Yeah, sorry. You can't just leave out the challenges. they want the chat. I mean, I only gave them the hashtag #AskBirds, yeah, today, yesterday, but they still use the challenge birds thingy. And this is especially interesting, I think, for Adler, because do you want to read the challenge, Storm?
Do we want to read the challenge? You know what, Fleeks? I'll let you read the challenge. Go for it.
T-anus. T-anus.
Oh, my God.
T-anus asks... no, he doesn't ask. He challenges. It's actually a question, but also a challenge. Can you do an impression of your favorite animated character? Favorite written in the British version. With O. And if not, is there any that you can do? So
no.
I was asked that if I could, because I sound like Justin Roiland, who does Rick and Morty. I don't know about that, but I was asked if I can do that, and I think I can also do Lemon Grab from
Yes! Yes, do it. Do it for me.
So. Aw, gee, Rick, I'm not quite sure. What else does Rick... What does Morty say? Come on. Rick, I don't know. I don't know if this is quite a good idea.
No, Morty, it's okay. Morty, it's fine. It's fine, Morty. You gotta put this mega seed way up your butt, Morty.
And then Lemon Grab is, this castle is in unacceptable condition. So, there you go.
I can only do
unacceptable.
I can do that. but I can do a Mario impression, kind of.
Do it.
It's do me, it. Mario.
Oh my
it's
god,
me, Mario.
It's
that was
me,
pretty good, Fleeks.
Mario.
That was pretty good.
I give a tip of the wing to both of you. I can't. It sounds like a train wreck. I can't. I'm sorry.
I could do is probably like Guillemon from Digimon.
My name.
Yeah, do it.
Is Morgan Freeman.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Pika Pika.
There you go. That's about all I can
Pikachu.
Do.
Pikachu.
That's right.
Pikachu.
and then freaking Adler's got to come and once again one of us all.
Pikachu.
I think Adler, I think you and I are going to have a quiet word when the show's over with some pats on the back.
Pats on the back.
Yeah, I'll give you a pat you'll never forget.
Okay. I'll brace myself.
Oh my god. That's what she said. Okay.
Yikes.
So, I think this has been yet another fantastic and chirperific episode, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Our longest episodes are the best episodes. everyone who is still here and still listening to me, hey, you made it through the episode now.
Congratulations. Give yourselves a pat on the back, because this is award worthy.
Goodness gracious.
And also, I want to, of course, tell you to follow our Adler the Eagle on Twitter. It's twitter.com/Adler_the_Eagle. It's linked in the description on our website.
But Adler, and of course, is there anywhere else that you would like to maybe mention where people can find you or talk to you?
If you don't, like, because some people, I don't know, I'm assuming most followers or people who listen have Twitter, but if you don't have Twitter, I also put everything on YouTube. Everything's under Adler the Eagle on YouTube also. I don't put every single thing on there. I only put, like, the full episodes of stuff that I do, so, like, my little, like, updates and stuff that I animate, I don't put on there, but, like, everything else will go on YouTube. So you can also subscribe and follow me there.
Nice.
So, and if you can't find them that way, just go ahead and Google Greatest Eagle Animator Ever, and of course he'll pop up. So you're totally good there.
Yep, that's me. I'm cocky, all right. Sorry.
Do we have anything else, or...?
I am totally chirped. Very happy that we got such a wonderful guest on the show this week. so talented. In general, speaking in general, people listening, you know, if you have a talent or you know someone that's talented and or you just think that you want to have topics you'd love to chirp about with us, feel free to reach out, beep@bird.life. We love meeting our listeners. We love meeting interesting folks, and we love meeting average birds that just love talking. It makes this podcast so much fun
because we're down to earth. There's such a thing as an average bird. That kind of upsets me. Every bird is extraordinary.
I agree with you, but sometimes self-confidence, people need a little nudge in the right direction.
Every bird is awesome.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoy the episode, you can always support us on Patreon, patreon.com/birdlifepodcast. You can donate as little as just $1 a month, and every bit helps. We really do appreciate it. There's no other way we're going to be able to afford the funding to be able to get an animated series at this point. You can also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or via the RSS feed, or however you get your podcasts. And I think that does it. Thanks for joining us. And remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping, my friends.
Adla?
Always be beeping. It helps somebody smile today.
Yay! And always be patting on the back.
And always be patting on the back. Pat your local bird on the back. Nicely. Gently.
And always be beeping. Always be beeping. Very important.
Always be beeping.
Eureka Hawk's beak's pointed up, with pride we cry. Horizon ahead, wings spread out, we claim the sky. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania. Badania, Badania, forever free Badania. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania. Badania, Badania, forever free Badania.
At the beginning of the episode, we heard Fleeks talk backwards for a minute. Let's hear that one more time.
To talk backwards. How do you know?
Did you hear it? Okay, now let's reverse it and see if you notice anything weird.
Fleeks! Oh, I saw you.
Don't be ready to dismiss it. There's something there. Let's enhance. Did you catch it that time? Okay, here it is, full enhance. Enjoy.
Understand, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.